So I want to actually take the time in this video to explain to you what the whole purpose of the pursuit of spirit is as I see it now, and talk a bit about my journey thus far and the stages of realization that are starting to unfold for me. Because first, when I started, you know, almost 10 years now, which is insane to say, I was around 15, or I guess 16 when I started, so not really 10 years, but 8 or 9 years ago. I'm almost 24. So yeah, 9 years ago, when I first got a book on mindfulness, I was in high school. I intuitively knew that you could improve your life through meditation, that, you know, you could maybe change your perspective, and, you know, I thought that you could move some pieces around within this thing called life. But what I didn't realize is just how profound this stuff gets. I didn't realize that it's not really about moving some pieces around. It's not about quitting a habit or starting a new one. It's not about making some relative progress. It's about realization, or revelation, as the Christians would call it, or Satori, Kensho, as the Zen Buddhists would call it. I realized that there is something so much more radically profound happening here than just a little like self-help, you know, improve your life a little bit sort of thing. And this has been confirmed to me so much, so many times through synchronicity, through the most profound recognitions, to the vibrational sort of energy in my body, which feels like every cell in my being is like jumping with excitement when I read a passage from Rumi, or I read a passage from Meister Eckhart, or I read something that Jesus did. It's like, this is the most insane thing. This is so insane. This is so radically profound. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe how deep this gets. And what's starting to really get clear for me is that truth, God, awakening or being awake, realization, revelation, and every core pillar of every mystical tradition, spiritual tradition, points to, I don't want to call it an understanding because it's not a thought, but it points to, see, this is where words are limited, but it points to this sort of way of seeing, this state of consciousness, this plane of existence, which is here and now, which is more real than what you consider real in your day-to-day life, and that is what everything is. And my soul, you could say, has locked on to that, whatever that is. You want to call it a state of consciousness, you want to call it a way of seeing, you want to call it enlightenment, you want to call it spiritual awakening, you want to call it God realization, I don't really care. But to me, it is very clear that that, whatever that is incredibly real, like profoundly real, so real that it shocks you, but it's also shocking because it's not far out. You know, it's not over there or like behind a wall somewhere. It's just, it's right where you're at. It's sitting right where you're at. And that thing gets clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. And I feel like every day I wake up, every fucking thing, excuse my French, but every fucking thing I read from every mystic, every saint, every sage, from Jesus to Ramana Maharshi to the Buddha to Nisargadatta Maharaj to name the mystic, literally everything they say points to this or that thing, that state of consciousness, that way of being. Now, all those words will never suffice because it's not any of those words, of course, but I can see it so clearly that I understand why it's so freeing. It's not freeing because your relative life doesn't suck sometimes and you don't have mood changes and sometimes you're in a pissy mood. It's not freeing because, you know, you're all blissed out in some sort of, you know, samadhi-like meditation state 24/7 where you're like high all the time soberly. It's not like that. It's freeing. Because it's true. And it's freeing because it's true no matter what you do, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter where you are, no matter if you forget and come back, no matter what, it's true. And it's that reality, the reality of that recognition, which is the freedom. It's what sets you free, because you realize, like, you could leave it or hold on to it, forget it, turn away from it, and it'll still be true. And that truth, again, that truth, that thing, whatever you want to call it, the source, enlightenment, whatever, is outside or transcends space and time, which means no matter where you are, no matter what time of the day, it can be 12 p.m. or 12 a.m., does not matter. You can be in India or Idaho in the United States of America. That truth is still true. And you can know it's true. You can know that that truth is true. Now, I know that this might sound like word salad. It might sound like I'm just, you know, circling, using spiritual platitudes, but that's because you have to understand that this thing, this state of consciousness, really the best way to phrase it is it's a state of consciousness. This thing you cannot describe with words because it transcends words. It's the thing that the words are happening within. It's the container for everything. We could call it being too. That being, that isness, is what you've always been looking for. It is what unity actually is. It is what heaven actually is. It is what nirvana actually is. And that's why I say any of, like, Ram Dass, Alan Watts, my gosh, Rumi, Meister Eckhart, Ramana Maharshi, I can go through the list, but, like, everything they said or say, even modern, like, teachers like Rupert Spira or like Adashanti or Muji, like, I get it. It's clear. It's like, yeah, yes, 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 yes. That's the feeling. It's like, yes, of course, yes, of course. It's this just crystal clarity of what they're talking about. And I understand why it's so confusing in the beginning, because it's just word salad. What are they talking about? Being, you know, you're unified with God's being, or, like, you know, you can see from a deeper place of your being, and, you know, your soul is watching over you, and, you know, my eye and God's eye are one, from Meister Eckhart, and, you know, Rumi saying stuff like God is love. It's like, what are they even talking about? This is all, like, you know, poetry, horseshit. That's what you think in the beginning. But You get to a point where they convert you without even trying. God converts you, we could say, and you go, oh, of course they would say it that way. Of course Rumi wrote it like this. Of course Meister Eckhart wrote it like this. Of course Rupert Spira says that. Of course, like, you just see it. You see it. And I don't know how, I hope I can get better at explaining that. But it's so fucking profound. I can't explain how profound it gets. It literally feels like every cell in my body is like, when I get closer to truth. And I get closer to truth when my mind is on it. So when I'm talking about it, when I'm reading some, you know, Alan Watts book, or I'm listening to some Ram Dass lecture, like, you can just like feel when you're getting close to it, if that makes sense. But it's not a feeling. The feeling is your body mirroring to you where your consciousness is at. But that's how I'm experiencing it. And it's getting to a point to where it's like, it feels like this sort of amplification. So like at first you get a glimpse and it's like, maybe you see it, you catch a glimpse of it and you kind of just like see it in this thing, or you like see it. Now, when I'm saying see, I mean like with your mind's eye, like see with your consciousness, not your eyes per se. So like you can see it in like music, you like see it, or you see it in like a book, or you see it in a quote, or you see it in a butterfly or a sunset, and you just see it, you see it, you see it everywhere. Everywhere you look, there it is. Everywhere you look, it's truth looking back at you. Everywhere you look, it's literally love in form. And that sounds so cliche, but like, it's like, you just start to realize everything always has been this. It's always been this stuff that you are, that is everything, and that happens to be completely unified and produce incredible emotions. I can't even describe some of the emotions I feel. Like, to call it love or to call it like peace doesn't really do it justice. It's more akin to like bliss or ecstasy. A lot of like what Rumi talked about, it's like these feelings of like ecstatic, uncaused, unbelievable, like gradations of love that like have different flavors, and they just ripple throughout your body because you start to see seeing. You start to see truth. I mean, this is so hard to explain with language, but like, I have to try. I have to document this because I could die tomorrow. And if I wouldn't have documented this and shared it, I would have regretted it. So I'm going to do my best, but this is how I experience it. It's literally like you're looking at a wall, or you're looking at a sunset, or you're listening to music, or you're reading a book, or you're watching a video like this, and you can literally see it. You can see it. And it's clear to you that that's it. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's it. And it's just like undeniable certainty because of how true it is. It couldn't be more true because it is exactly what it is. Now, again, don't get lost in your mind thinking about this. This isn't something you think, it's something you see. So if you're like, if you're hearing me and then you're getting lost in your mind, I mean, in many ways, you could say you have to go through that. And I don't know, maybe you do. Maybe you need to go through that stage of like just obsessively thinking about it, because I went through that. But that, obsessively thinking about a stage will fall away, and then the truth and the seeing will just start shining through every aspect of your experience. And I mean, where it goes from here, I don't know. I think it just gets more clear and more clear to the point of like, see, that's the thing. That's the thing you don't understand when you start on this path, is you don't understand that you, like, you don't have to try to see it. Like, and I don't want to make a too big of a blanket statement, because, like, you know, there is some effort that I would say you need to apply, spiritually speaking. Like, having that desire for truth is good. Like, I think you need that desire. Like, I want to know what the hell is true. Like, cause that'll break you through. So I'm not saying to, like, you know, desire is bad specifically in that way. I think when, you know, people say desire is bad, or when, like, the Buddha said desire attachment is the cause of suffering, I think he meant more like desire of worldly things. I think it was Ramana Maharshi that said desire of God is the one true desire. Or maybe that was Muji's guru, Papaji. Or maybe that was Maharaji. I don't know. One of the mystics, one of the sages said, desire of truth is the one true desire. And, like, I would agree with that. There's something in you, because it's you, that knows deep down that, like, I need to know what this is. And that's why you feel called to it. So I think that's good. Anyways, in the beginning, there's a lot of effort. But, like, what I'm starting to experience is that it's almost like you don't even have to try to see it. It's just like this obvious, glaring, I really like the words illuminated or luminous, because that's how it feels. It feels like everything is amplifying in luminous consciousness. Like, before, you're like living and, like, you know, it's like one of those light switches, but it's not a switch, it's like a slider. And it, like, can start from dim to bright. It's like when you start on this path, you know, me 8-9 years ago, when I first got a book on mindfulness, it was like dim, completely dim. But there was still like a teeny, teeny, teeny bit of light coming through, because that's what you are. So there always has to be light, or else you wouldn't be here. But it was so obscured by darkness, it's just super dim. But you feel called to that light, right? And then as you progress, as you start to awaken, your ego starts to dissolve, and, you know, it starts to raise, it starts to get brighter, and maybe sometimes it'll drop back down, and then it gets brighter and drops back down. But over time, in general, the trend is up, and it gets to a point to where you pass the threshold of needing to look to see. You know, even with like an actual light slider, there's some threshold in the middle where when you pass it, it's just light. You can see, and you see it. And then everything past that is like a bonus on top, because it's like even more clear. And you don't have to try nearly as hard to like see the thing on the ground, or like the thing on the wall, or the art piece. Like, it just starts to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And I don't, as far as I can tell, it just keeps getting brighter. It just keeps getting more luminous. It keeps getting more effortless, where it's just like that. It's just like this. Of course, that's what it is. And it's beautiful. It's freedom. It is what, to me, it is what Jesus was talking about. This is literally, Jesus to me was probably the most awake being to walk this earth. The Buddha, probably around there. Ramana Maharshi, probably around there. And then all the other mystics and sages, incredibly awake beings. They were all talking about the same thing, which we could call God. And God is a perfect word for it, because that's the experience. The experience, The reason why I call it spiritual awakening, a lot of people just say awakening. The reason why I call it spiritual awakening is because it's this incredible feeling of divinity, of sacredness. It's like the most sacred, divine feeling you could ever possibly imagine is what you sort of feel when you start to see this truth everywhere. And to me, that's why God's the perfect word, is because that's what it is. That's why basically every mystic and sage has used the word God, other than the Buddha. But even the Buddha used the word reality, and it's like, you know, reality, God, same thing. It's not a bearded man in the clouds. It's this truth. It is truth itself. It's a higher order thing. It's the principle of truth that transcends everything and is everything at the same time. Now, I'm just saying what you've heard before. If you're into spiritual work, yes, we get it. We know. It's everything and nothing at the same time. Yes, we know. But the experience of it is of this slider just, and then just everywhere you look, every music, you know, everything just starts to shine with God's light, as like Rupert Spear would say. And that's like, oh my God, you know, I don't even know like anymore, like who said what, because it's all the same thing. So like, I don't even know if Rupert Spear said that or if I just thought of that, but that's what it is. It's like everything is just shining with this truth because that's literally what it is. And that's what's so crazy about it. Again, it's not far out. So if you're thinking it's something far out there, man, it's some wild thing, you'll miss it because it's literally what you're looking at. It is the room around you. You're looking at it right now. It's just not bright enough yet. You're just at a dimmer level, which is why you look at a room and all you see is a room. And you think to yourself, oh, all I see is a room. There's nothing special about this room. But if the light was turned up, you would see its beauty. You would see its sacredness. You would see its divinity. And you would be ecstatic. You would be blissed out. Now, here's another thing. I think a lot of people think it's like this state where you're blissed out 24/7. And it's like, no, that's not true. When I'm like working during the day, because I like have a business I run, I have like clients I need to manage, I, you know, have my own employees that I'm like, you know, hey, do this thing. And hey, we need to get this project done for this client. Like when I'm in that mode, it's not as like ecstatic or blissed out. So I think that that's a mistake a lot of people make, is that they think that it's like, oh, you're constantly blissed out. And hey, maybe it'll get to that point. Maybe it will. But for me, it's more of, it's always true no matter what, because that's what truth is. That literally is what is true. It is truth itself. And so you can kind of set it down, do what you need to do. And then, you know, anytime you come back to it, it's there because it's always there. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. If you need to focus in on your life and kind of go vroom, where you kind of vroom, like this, and you're like dealing with stuff, that's fine. Because as soon as you open back up, it's here, because it's what's behind everything. It's what everything is. And I think the more you go in and then, ah, it's still there. And then you go in and then, ah, it's still there. The more that that process just probably just becomes one thing. Because even when I'm working, it's still kind of shining through everything, you know? So yeah, I hope this helped. I'm recording this mostly to just document where I'm at at this point in my process. I'm documenting where I'm at this point in time, February, what day is it? February 17th at 9:38 PM. This is what it is for me. And I don't see it not unfolding deeper, which is, that's also what's crazy. It just seems like it keeps getting deeper. It's like, if this was enough, it would be enough. Or like, if this was it, it would be enough, because it's everything, but somehow everything keeps getting deeper and everything keeps getting bigger. See, we're hitting the language of limit, or the limits of language, but oh my gosh. So yeah, that's my experience. Now, maybe you're thinking, Vic, okay, what do I need to do? I want to experience it. What do I need to do? Because I understand that you might be feeling that way. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think you get to choose. I don't think you can force it. I think you can, I've used this analogy of like, you can try to get lightning to strike, which would be like awakening. But that's not a perfect analogy, because it's not like a one instant thing where you like, it's an aha moment. It's more like a dissolving. That's how I've experienced it. It's more like there's ahas that break apart the ego, but in between those aha moments, which only happen, you know, once for me, like once, I don't even know. I don't even think I quantify that. A few times a year, like a true aha, holy shit, like awakening moment, that like kind of breaks apart the ego, but in between those ahas is like just a slow dissolving, and then maybe it'll break apart further and then dissolving, but it's, in general, it's a dissolving. And so the lightning analogy isn't perfect, but if you want to use the lightning analogy, you can't force lightning to strike you, but you can stand outside with a metal pole in a thunderstorm. So what does that mean? That means that learn to practice meditation. I have a free meditation course here on YouTube. It's 3 hours long, teaches you all the fundamentals of meditation. I called it mastering meditation. Really, it's like the fundamentals of meditation. It's also on my website. So you can learn how to meditate. You can properly and safely use psychedelics to ideally open your consciousness and start to dissolve this structure we call the ego, which is basically blocking out the light. But there's no guarantee that psychedelics will help you. You know, I don't know. I seem to be lucky to be able to take psychedelics and not need a lot of them in order to experience tremendous ego dissolution and spiritual growth. Other people can take a shit ton of psychedelics a shit ton of times, and all they do is see cool colors. So there's no guarantee, but you can, you know, learn to trip safely, trip responsibly, with psilocybin mushrooms or LSD. Be careful if it's LSD. Test, and be careful of buying online. I always say, hey, learn how to make friends in real life that you know and that you trust. Be careful of online stuff. So psychedelics, yes. Meditation, yes. Contemplation is a great one. So I would say like contemplation and spiritual study are like I'm checking the time on my camera. Okay, we got 10 minutes left before it runs out. So contemplation and spiritual study, these would be this would be like watching this video, reading like I Am That from Nisargadatta Maharaj, reading literally any spiritual text. This can be incredibly helpful because, and this is why I think you should always be learning, is because it's like you're getting different angles of different perspectives from a Hindu perspective, a Zen perspective, a Christian perspective, a psychedelic perspective, a new age perspective. Like the more you can just circle this thing by reading like the Law of One material, like that, you know, the Law of One from Ra, that like new, more new agey stuff. And then read like, you know, Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta Maharaj, like classic Indian sage stuff. And then like read the New Testament, and then, you know, read like Ram Dass's books, read Alan Watts' books. Like the more you can circle this thing by studying it and then you contemplate this stuff, you do that for 10 years, I guarantee you lightning will strike. I can almost guarantee you that. So contemplation, study, psychedelics safely, meditation, or just being. And that's really it. I mean, the other ways that this can like start to unfold faster is like traumatic experiences, which you don't get to choose those. So my friend dying, Jared, that was one for me. He died of cancer. I literally picked him up, his very frail body after, you know, this battle of cancer. And I set him on his, I literally set him on his deathbed and I told him goodbye, right before he died. And that was incredibly transformative. So, what would I say about that? I would say if you get the opportunity to face death like that, do not run away. So if your grandma's dying, your friend, your mom, do not run away. Face it, because that can be the greatest gift not only you will give them, but they will give you, because that truth, that light of God will, something happens with death where, and I think, you know, Ram Dass talked a lot about, you know, being with dying people. But something about death, just the bullshit of petty human gossiping and drama, all this petty human stuff falls away, and truth, God, love just shines in death. And that's so paradoxical, but it's true if you're open to it. So there's that. So yeah, so that's how you can basically stand in a thunderstorm with a metal pole and hope that the lightning of awakening will strike. But remember, it's not really an aha moment, because you have to understand it's already true. So no matter what you realize over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, no matter what you come to understand, all of that is already true right now. It was true before you were born. It was true 5,000 years ago. It was true at the beginning of the universe. That's what's crazy about it. It transcends time. So it's already there. It's already true. You don't need to take a psychedelic or to meditate or to, you know, have your friend pass away or to read. You don't need to do any of these things in order to grasp it. You really don't. And that's why someone like Ramana Maharshi, 12 years old, lays down, pretends he's dead, boom, massive awakening. Why? Because it's already true. The truth is already there. The practices, meditation, spiritual study, watching videos with that sort of pure desire to know God, all of that stuff, that is just, again, that's just you standing out in a thunderstorm, thunderstorm with a lightning pole, hoping lightning will strike. Lightning can still strike, even if you're not holding a metal pole. The metal pole would be like the practices. So you can still just be living life and just, you know, you'll see it. But I think that, you know, if you're going to go for it. And there seems to be something with like participating and like, again, that effort initially of trying, reading, meditating, actually putting some, you know, putting your hours in, as Ram Dass would say. I think Ram Dass said that, like putting your hours in, there seems to be something where like you burn off that karma that you like, you have to get through that. Not that you're doing it to get through it. Like you don't want to sit down to meditate just to get to the end of the meditation, or like sit down to read just to get to the end of reading. Cause that could be, you know, that could be some weird, subtle trick you're playing on yourself where you're like just counting the days you meditated, you know, ooh, I got 20 days in a row, but you didn't actually meditate because you were just sitting down to meditate to count it. So that's kind of like its own trap. But there seems to be something there where it's like just such a paradox of like you don't have to do any of those things, but you do have to do all of those things. I think there's actually a quote that's something about like, oh my gosh, what is that quote? That quote is like, I think it's like about meditation or something, but I don't know. Somebody maybe leave it in the comments, but it's something like you don't have to meditate in order to awaken, but everybody that's awake meditated, right? Or something like that. Like you don't have to read or do a psychedelic to wake up, but everybody that's woke up spiritually took a psychedelic and studied, read some books. So that's the paradox of it. That's the catch 22. You don't have to do it, but you have to in a weird way. So anyways, I hope this was helpful. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. I would love to hear your thoughts. And I hope this was helpful. This is where I'm at. This is how I see it. And what I see is that truth is transcendental, and truth exists within every spiritual tradition, which is one of the coolest things ever. To just look at Hinduism or Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or Advaita Vedanta from Hinduism or Zen from Buddhism, like just literally look at any spiritual tradition and you can just see the truth in it. You can see how they were all sort of hitting this thing from different angles. And it's like the most fulfilling thing ever. So I hope this helped. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed it, hit that like button for me and come check out the website if you're interested. Enjoy your beingness. Remember, you're always here. And no matter where you are, no matter what time of the day it is, truth is true. And it's accessible to you. Peace. Hey, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit pursuitofspirit.com.